listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gear, and gadget related on DVDverdict.com. In tonight's episode, Steve grabs his gun and goes to war. John plays with a pink little puffball. And Kev just might be the hero that Gotham deserves.
Good evening, you're listening to Blast Processing, of course, which is the official gaming, gadget, gear, cell phones, whatever related podcast on DVDverdict.com. We are, of course, your usual belligerent, drunken hosts. I've got with me this evening Mr. John Mercer.
Hello!
And I've got with me Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
We never talk about gadgets.
Ever. But it's just because there haven't been any gadgets.
Minecraft is a gadget.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Minecraft is a gadget? Can you buy, like, Minecraft blocks now?
In my world, you can.
Does Batman carry Minecraft in his utility belt?
I don't think he could. Maybe, I'd love to know what Batman's BlackBerry is like.
The BatBerry?
The BlackBerry. The BatBerry.
You can buy Minecraft socks.
Dude, you saw The Dark Knight. You know what his BlackBerry is like. You can use it to fucking spy the
God, keep recording. This is good. We're okay, listeners.
Okay, so next week.
I need one for PG-13, Melissa. One.
Next time on Blast Processing, John doesn't cuss. And we get fan opinions, we get feedback, we get letters from you deadbeats who listen to us but never write us, and you tell us what you think Batman uses. Do you think Batman rocks the iPhone? Do you think he's a BlackBerry man? Is he an Android man? Maybe he's got one of those fancy Xperia Play phones, you know, so he can maybe play a few rounds of something on the PlayStation Store or something while he's busting crime.
Minecraft is on Xperia.
Maybe he exercises his considerable detective brain power with some Lego building in Minecraft. On Xperia Play.
He may.
Sully, Erickson, we're waiting for that check. You sons of bitches.
Great, there's another cuss. What a cuss.
Speaking of Batman, Kev, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I finally popped Batman Arkham City into the machine.
You popped Arkham City's cherry?
I am playing the game.
He bat popped that bat cherry.
And I gotta say, I love it. It's a pretty game.
It's a very pretty game.
Yeah. And, you know, I still get a lot of satisfaction. I know last week, Steve, you were talking about the combat. You weren't necessarily digging it.
I wasn't entirely into it, no.
But I gotta say, I actually get a lot of satisfaction out of moving back and forth between bad guys really fast and punching them in the face.
Oh, it was fluid. I mean, it was great. Like, it felt great, but it seemed like the enemies took a lot more punishment than they did in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
So to me, it just, you know, it got kind of mash happy as you went.
Yeah.
You know?
I love playing as Catwoman. I think that's awesome. Really cool. And so, guys, if you can, man, download the Catwoman code because you get to play the little extra levels and jump around the city as Catwoman and use a whip and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Now, some people were saying that there's only, what, 4 little sequences with Catwoman added to the game?
She makes up about 5 to 10% of the game.
Okay. I've only played with her twice so far, and I'm only 6% into it.
But, I mean, guys, you're talking about a 30-hour long...
Yeah.
I've been hearing anywhere from 8 to 10 hours to 30 hours, depending on how thorough.
Okay.
But I gotta say, after seeing the end game, after seeing how it all unfolds, what reservations I did have about the storyline last week when we'd only seen the first probably 3.5-4 hours of the game, completely washed away.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic story. Really, really good how it all came together. I still think it could have used a little more guidance, it could have used a little bit less open worldiness, I guess is the word I'd use. Yeah. I still think that they could have made a, not like a linear game, but maybe kind of corralled you a little bit more and fit all of the side missions into like more logical lockstep with the rest of the game. It's like, you know, the Joker's poisoned you and you're going to die if you don't find the antidote, and it's only 10 hours until Protocol 10 gets enacted. But I might as well go off on this side road here and capture this other villain because, you know, I'm Batman, and I'm not really in much of a rush. Maybe I'll go grab a latte and then hunt down Deadshot.
Hey, there's a payphone ringing. I'm here. I might as well answer it.
I'm Batman. I gotta do a good deed.
Excuse me.
That could be someone trying to get a hold of someone who's very important, you know? Like, maybe they get a sick mother in the hospital and they're trying to get a message out. Who's gonna answer that
payphone? Who's calling a payphone in the middle of the Arkham City prison, anyway? Really?
Hello. I'm Batman.
I'm the goddamn Batman. My parents are dead!
Meatball!
So I've been playing mostly Batman. Really enjoying it. I also downloaded the demo to this game called Okabu, I think it's called.
We're going to talk about Batman because nobody wants to talk about
it. Well, I only have one thing to say about this weird game that I downloaded.
Okay, what is this game on? What were you playing?
It's on a PlayStation.
Oh, it's a PlayStation 3
PlayStation,
game.
Okay. Yeah.
We might as well just call this the official Sony podcast.
You might as well, yeah. It's called Okabu, and basically, I only played like 5 minutes to the beginning, and you play as a whale, a cloud whale. You're like this whale that floats around. No, come back here, John. Come back here.
John, you'll find this funny.
So, I'm playing it, and you're floating around, and you pick up this little guy, and he jumps on your back, and he tells you, you know, to use his weapon to fire at a thing, to do whatever, right?
Okay.
But he's carrying a harpoon, and you activate the harpoon to fire at something. It's shaped like a plunger. And I'm thinking to myself, now hold on a second here. I'm a whale. And this guy is telling me I press the button to use the harpoon that he's carrying.
Wouldn't a whale be morally opposed to
I would be like, man, what did you just say to me? What did you just say? Did you say harpoon? Get off my back.
That would be like asking a...
Oh, that's... We're talking about whales here.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, That was low. I couldn't believe it when they said that. So I only played a little bit of it. And that was the end of that. So it's just been that, Batman, and of course, Children of Carnia. It's sad that I'm getting more time in on a cell phone game than I am on a console.
It's because you're never home.
You need to tell your girlfriend to stop playing Batman and let you play Batman.
She does let me play it when she's having a bit of trouble with an area. I'll jump in there.
That's what ruined the original Fable for me.
So you may not exactly be playing Batman per se, but you are experiencing Batman.
I'm experiencing Batman. I am playing a little.
Dude, you're Robin. That's
Robin. Is Robin in this game?
At least Nightwing.
Yes, he is.
Robin actually looks kind of cool in it.
Yeah. Does he?
No, yeah. He actually makes an appearance in the storyline.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
And his design, like everything else in the game, is actually kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm still, like, totally loving that beer bottle monocle the Penguin's rocking.
Oh, yeah, that's
I
cool.
I still love the fact that the Penguin is played by the same guy who plays Nathan Drake.
You're kidding.
No.
Anything.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Is there anything that man can't do?
He is the man.
Peter North.
Nolan North. Now he's never going to be on the show.
Peter North is a porn star.
Oh, you're kidding. What did I think that?
John knows.
I got a wife. We have needs.
Mm-hmm. Nolan North. Okay.
He was also Desmond in the Assassin's Creed games.
Was he really?
Yep.
Wow.
I believe he was... What else has Nolan North played?
He's... Man, what hasn't
Main
he played?
Main character of Shadow Complex. Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake the first in Dark Void. Yeah. Like the 1930s or 1940s version of
what
Nathan
was
Drake.
Name?
Nathan Drake.
Pretty much. Nathan Drake with a jetpack.
His name was Nathan Jetpack Drake.
Yeah.
He was the prince in the 2008 Prince of Persia.
He was.
Which was pretty badass and horribly underrated. We love you, Nolan North. Come on our show.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Bring your stolen copy of Uncharted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kev will insult you by calling you Joshua. Joshua North. Hello, Mr. Joshua North.
Kev will compare you to his favorite adult film stars.
So that's what I've been playing.
That's what you've been playing?
Yeah, pretty much.
I took one of this fall's... debatably one of the big releases of this fall, one of the big AAA, you know...
There's no debate about it, dude. It doesn't matter how it sells, how it's reviewed. It's one of the big releases.
Okay, well, you know, it's only been out since Tuesday, and there's already been news saying that it's shipped, not sold, but shipped, which is still pretty damn impressive. 10 million copies. That would be EA's Battlefield 3.
Doesn't that technically mean it's sold? Because, I mean, when they say it's shipped, doesn't that mean that the stores bought those 10,000 copies?
10 million copies.
10 million copies,
yeah. That's to me, that number is simply staggering. To put it into perspective, Halo Reach sold, what, 6 million in its lifespan?
Yeah.
Bad Company 2 hasn't sold 11 million copies to date.
Wow.
Since it was released 2 years ago. That's pretty staggering. Way to go, EA. Hats off. Kudos.
Oh, by the way, the title he's speaking of, that you haven't said what the title is.
I thought I did. Well, Battlefield 3. Yes, I did. EA, developed by DICE, you know, Digital Illusions, whatever. All you people can keep crying to him for Mirror's Edge, but I got a feeling it's going to be Battlefield from here on out.
Are they going to do another Mirror's Edge?
There's always talk, but that's just, I think that's all it is.
I love that game. That was great.
I could see Mirror's Edge coming back as like a download title or something like that.
Well, they should put the chair for Mirror's Edge into Bad Company. She fit it.
She would. What was her name?
Company.
I don't even remember her name.
Mirror's Edge?
Nathan
Drake? Lara Croft?
Oh, she was so cool. She was like one of my favorite female protagonists.
I have no idea.
Something like that.
Faith.
So there you go. Battlefield 3. Reviews pretty disheartening because I'm getting a bit of Medal of Honor syndrome. Anybody who's been listening for a long time knows that I love the hell out of the Medal of Honor single player campaign. I thought it was a really awesome, you know, it was the Tony Scott to Call of Duty's Michael Bay. It was slightly dialed back, slightly more realistic. More, I mean, for people who are just into the whole Army thing, for people who grew up in the 80s watching Army movies and reading G.I. Joe comics, it was just a cool first-person shooter, you know, military campaign without the whole stodgy armchair realism that comes with stuff like Tom Clancy or, you know, SOCOM.
Or the whole blowing up the moon.
No one blows up the moon in Battlefield 3. But I really enjoyed the single-player game. It had a great storyline that I found propelled me, like, from mission to mission, really, like, I couldn't put it down. I could not stop playing. I was riveted to it. The missions changed up a lot while you were playing through. It was pretty dynamic. You know, they had a few really cool, really unique scenarios in there. And, you know, like, it hit all the right notes that a military thriller should hit. And it was all framed by this, you know, like, they borrowed basically the frame narrative technique that Dragon Age touted when Dragon Age 2 came out. With this whole, like, most of it is taking place in flashback as your main character is sitting in an interrogation room in New York City, being questioned by two agency spooks. You know, it was really well put together. It was just a neat storyline, well acted, a lot of cool scenery, and of course, I mean, the graphics were stunning. I mean, this fall has already given us Rage, which was jaw-dropping, and now we got Battlefield 3, which again is pushing consoles farther than I've ever seen them pushed up to now. It's just a gorgeous-looking shooter, and it runs ricky-tick.
Less than a week before Uncharted.
Yeah, and we have less than a week till Uncharted 3 hits, which is probably going to drop our jaws again. I liked it. I didn't get much time with the online because the servers weren't up most of the time I had the game. But what I did play of it was really good, really fun. They cleaned it up a lot since the beta. The vehicles were cool. I mean, it was a pure, you know, it was pure Battlefield for people who enjoy Battlefield. I mean, if you're hardcore Call of Duty, it's not going to convert you, sadly. But, you know, hey, nobody's perfect.
Oh, can we get an update on the Dark Souls front? Because I know you've been playing Dark Souls.
I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls. I'm now 37, maybe 38 hours into Dark Souls. I'm level 40. I just killed some crazy five-headed Hydra thing. And then some naked lady with her upper body attached to a gigantic flaming spider that killed me 7 or 8 times before I finally got her. And that was just absolutely awesome. The game is, right now, I mean, all I gotta say is Skyrim is gonna have to be ridiculously awesome to dethrone Dark Souls as my game of the year.
It's gonna be ridiculously awesome.
Who is she playing as?
I'm playing as a wanderer.
Wanderer?
Wanderer. But I've kinda,
it starts with the scimitar and the hood?
Yep.
The
hood. Yeah. I've kinda decked myself out for,
Because he looked like a knight last time I saw him.
Yeah, because I got him decked out for strength and dex.
Okay.
The way Dark Souls works, to get into, like, the nitty-gritty, the under the hood, you know, every weapon in the game has got stats that scale its damage accordingly, and like the swords that I'm using happen to be based around strength and dexterity, so the higher my strength and dex are, the more damage I do with specific swords. Yeah, we're getting into like geek territory now.
No, but I mean, because what I'm super digging about the game is that you can start out as any of the classes, but by the time the game rolls around to an end, you can
become
completely different.
You've got so many options to grow, man.
It gives you that chance to evolve, to deal with, like, because, I mean, everyone's going to deal with the enemies in the game in different ways. Right?
Yeah. And if you're one of these instant gratification, rush through everything gamers, the game is just going to chew you up and spit you out. You got to take your time. You got to learn the mechanics of it. It's not a game that you play.
That boy could chew you up and spit out the seeds, Tetsuo.
No, it's one of those games that
you really need to play it without distractions. You really need to play it when you're dedicated to playing it. Like,
I don't get to play it because I've got a 10-month-old son. And, whenever I'm... You can't pause Dark Souls.
No, which is... I have run into problems on a few occasions where the phone rings, and I'm like, uh-huh, yes,
Shit!
You can't actually pause the game?
You can't pause the game.
Because it's always on one.
Yeah. However... you can quit out at any time, and it will save exactly where you were.
Yeah.
So, your phone rings, you can press start, hit quick game, and it has no bearing on where you were in the game. The next time you load up your game, it'll load exactly where you left.
You could be in the arena fighting the Gaping Dragon, and...
I don't know if it'll work when you're fighting bosses. Okay. I don't think you can do it during boss
fighting. That would really suck, you load the game only to get smashed by a...
Well, the thing with all the boss fights is the boss fights are all, they're kind of corralled in the specific arenas. You enter through, a misted door to fight them, so you kind of know when they're coming as well.
Yeah.
So that definitely tends to help. But yeah, Dark Souls, absolutely. Right now, it's my candidate for Game of the Year. Hmm. How about you, Mr. Mercer?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I played a lot of Batman. I'm not going to delve too deeply into it. Kevin was already talking about it, and I don't want to spoil any of the story because I know I'm further ahead than he is. But, I played a lot of Batman. I also, this week for the paper, I got an email from a reader who asked me to, if I'd mind reviewing some more family-related stuff for the holidays. It's been, I'd say about 2 or 3 months of rated M for mature. And I'm sorry, guys, that's what's coming out, Call him as I see him. But I sat down and reviewed Kirby's Return to Dreamland.
Kirby.
For the Wii.
He eats people.
Yeah.
That's not particularly family friendly.
No. It's kind of...
He eats them and he spits them out.
Or he consumes them and steals them. Oh my god, Kirby's the Wendigo.
He's the Chupacabra.
But, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, I like this one better than I liked Epic Yarn last year, which I felt was just a graphical gimmick and a lazy, lazy, lethargic platformer.
A graphical gimmick on the Wii.
Who'd have thunk it? But, I like this one a little bit more. However, I still, I missed out on the whole Kirby boat. I never had the P-Soup colored Game Boy until 1997. And I missed out. I totally missed the Kirby boats. I've never really connected with the character. And I can see it as a fine little beginner's platformer for kids. However, as an aside, they're aiming this game at ages 7 to 10. I was 7 in 1989. I was playing Metroid, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, Mega Man 2 and the original Contra in 1989 at age 7. By the time I got to age 10 in 1992, the Super Nintendo was out then, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was probably playing Super Castlevania 4 and right on the cusp of discovering Street Fighter 2. So from ages 7 to 10, I wasn't playing it. And gamers my age, none of us were playing beginner level games. We were playing some stuff that's pretty hardcore.
It's gotten a lot more conservative now, though.
Yeah.
I find that...
Because at age 10, I was playing Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which is,
in general...
The hardest game before Demon's Souls.
In general, it's kind of sad in one respect. My kids kind of... It's there a little bit for them, and I think it's kind of cool. But the whole Clash of Demon Head and Battletoads rules have kind of been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And, to reiterate to long-term listeners, you guys know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are relatively new to our podcast.
The embassy mission rule?
There's the Clash of Demon Head rule and the Battletoads rule. The Clash of Demon Head rule is you just went to the convenience store for the weekend, you picked out 2, maybe 3 games if you had a really good week. You just got home, it's the middle of January, your parents aren't going outside anymore tonight. Those 3 games, you had them for the weekend. They were the best goddamn games you ever played in your life, even if it was Clash of Demon Head.
Yeah.
That's the Clash of Demon Head rule. The Battletoads rule supersedes the Clash of Demon Head rule. It is the rule that there are some games that you save up your hard-earned pennies for, and you're for months delivering flyers or carrying newspapers or cleaning your dad's garage or shoveling your driveway or mowing your lawn and collecting every cent you got, and Nintendo Power and Game Pro and Game Player's Guide have been hyping this game for months. It hits, it costs you $90 freaking, you get it home, and it eats your fucking soul. Two curse words! That is the Battletoads rule.
But still a great game.
No, it wasn't. No!
Battletoads was an excellent game.
No!
You tell me you guys never finished it.
I did.
Yeah.
I destroyed an NES controller.
That was an excellent game.
Do you remember The Crow? Do you remember the movie The Crow?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Michael Wincott's little speech to his sister when he's got the snow globe? And he says, "Childhood's over the day you know you're gonna die."
Yeah.
No, childhood's over the day you open your copy of Battletoads. That's when your childhood has ended. That is when now you are a man, my son. You start playing Battletoads, you realize you wasted $90 on this crap. And no matter what, you had to finish it because of the Clash of Demon Head rule.
Right.
You spent hard-earned money on it. You got to play that damn shit. You can't just
For $90, you can't just play it like it's a weekend rental.
No.
No.
You got to finish it. It has to be done.
Yeah.
And be damned if you pull out your machete that you happen to keep conveniently next to, in between your desk that your Nintendo sits on and your dresser, and use the heck an NES controller in half because you get so goddamn pissed off at that giant rat.
I remember that machete. I completely forgot about it.
That machete destroyed an NES controller.
Did it have a name?
No, it was just the machete.
Oh, you.
Well, Super Mario 3 was like $90 as well.
It was. Yeah, Super Mario 3 was actually a good game.
I think they were both good games. But anyway, I'm going to be in the minority here. That's fine.
Hear that, Battletoads fans? You have a champion in Mr. Fitting. Know this. I will go to my grave despising that game with every fiber of my being. It was also the first issue of Nintendo Power that I ever got a double of, was the one with Battletoads on the cover.
Okay, how old were you when Battletoads came out? That was 91. Well,
I don't know.
No, just
was that 91? Was it that late?
Yeah, just getting back to the whole Kirby thing. Right? Just getting back to the whole Kirby thing. I played Battletoads when it came out. I was probably 9 or 10. You know? And here I was playing something that was manufactured in a lab to make children cry.
Yeah. It was bad. I mean, I wasn't very long after that I pretty much bailed on the entire hobby.
Started dropping acid, talking back to his parents.
Listening to that devil's music.
I finished, put down my controller, finished playing Battletoads, that's when I bought my first White Zombie CD.
Somebody get the paramedics. John's having an episode.
John's having a Rob Zombie attack.
The Rob Zombie apocalypse. Wow. Yeah, Battletoads, bad juju. So yeah, you know, I never really had the Kirby thing either, John. I had Battletoads, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, when Kirby came around, you were probably like 15, 16.
I don't know.
You're not Kevin Woolridge old.
I can proudly say that I have never in my life even so much as seen the title screen for a Kirby game.
I played through Kirby All-Stars, is that what it was called?
I don't even know you.
Superstar.
I don't even know you.
It was a great game.
I don't know you. Who are you?
It's Steve. It was a great game. Kirby is actually pretty cool. That's it. So I'm going to be off the podcast now.
How many Pokemon games did you win?
One.
Oh, one too many.
Pokemon Red.
One too many, my
friend. On the original Game Boy, you know, the gray brick. And I owned it. I was in university at this time.
Oh,
It is sad. And I used to play it on the bus going across the island. It would be an 11-hour bus ride.
Well, I guess, fair enough.
Yeah. Does Alan Hocko know about this?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
I started working at Microplay the week after Pokemon Red and Blue were released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You poor, poor soul.
It was pretty fun. Those were interesting times. I don't know how long ago that was, but hey.
Yeah. Let me just get something straight, okay? I didn't work there. I served. Okay, lost a lot of good friends.
On those front lines.
But yeah, no, if you're a parent looking for something a bit of fun for the Wii this Christmas season, you could probably do a lot worse than Kirby.
Oh yeah, Kirby's great.
What are we talking about again?
But, you know, I'm going to go back to playing Batman.
I was just thinking about Dark Souls. Moving on.
News time. And we got a doozy to kick things off.
Nintendo, the big N, posts a $960 million loss in the first half of 2011.
Fiscal 2011.
Fiscal 2011. You didn't have fiscal written down there.
I'm sorry.
Make me look like a fool.
Those are jot notes.
Nintendo fails to overtly acknowledge that banking on the 3D gimmick was a completely stupid move, and their lousy 3D handheld sucks more eggs than your mother.
Not my mother, though.
Seriously, though, guys, just all joking aside. With the Wii running on fumes in North America, and the Wii U looking like a great machine for PS3 and 360 ports, is Nintendo's future looking bleak? Now, let's just consider for a second. $960 million. That's roughly a 3,000% increase on their decrease from last year. This is the first time in more than 30 years that Nintendo has registered a loss. I mean, yes, it's only the first half of fiscal 2011, but I mean, that's close to $1 billion. I don't know how good your holiday is.
Okay, with the Wii, pretty much, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Let's just call it how we see it. The Wii is pretty much toast in North America now.
Well, I mean, dude, how many, like, I don't even think they have a Wii section at Walmart anymore. They have the Burning Man.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
It's on.
Now, I mean, used Wii systems now are selling on, like, the retail market, like EB stores, our store. You know, we're selling them for $50.
$50? Can I get one?
Yeah. There's only like 18.
Kirby.
There's like 18 of them in there, man. But like, it's running on fumes. And wow. What do they think is really going to, you know, okay, they say that this is only for the first half of the year and they still got the rest of the year to go and stuff like that. Like, are they really expecting to move that much over Christmas? I mean, the only game they've really got is Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, okay, let's put it into perspective. We're not a huge store. We're not like, you know, we're not a Walmart or Future Shop level store. I've got 40 plus change pre-orders for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I've got, I think, 17 or 25 that neighborhood for Skyrim. Mm. I've got 3 for Skyward Sword.
Wow.
You know, so like, that'll tell you right there. Just to put it into perspective, I had more pre-orders on Dark Souls than I did on Skyward Sword. I had 9 Dark Souls pre-orders. I've had 3 for Skyward Sword.
Do you think it has something to do... it seems to me that this generation, the Wii generation of the console itself, it seems to me that it got its big push in terms of numbers and everything from mostly nostalgia, right? That's what Nintendo seems to be built on. It's the house of nostalgia.
That's definitely a big chunk of it, but I also think they totally went after that casual market, right? And really kind of, like,
which was a short-term game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
You knew that wasn't going to last forever. You know a fad never lasts.
That's why back in 2006, was it the Wii launched?
I remember us ridiculing the hell out of that machine.
I mean, I was calling it the Pet Rock. the Pet Rock. And I said, you know, it's, for the first couple years, I mean, everyone was talking about, oh man, Nintendo is back on top again. But they're not back on top. It's a fad, and as soon as these people find a new toy to replace this toy, you know, nobody's going to be playing the Wii anymore.
I think it just shows
Unless they brought the games, which they didn't.
I think it shows that, like, what it really shows the public, what it really shows the investors and all of that, the business side of it, is just how much they relied on their portable market.
Yeah.
You know, when the GameCube and the N64 were sucking up a storm, they always had that Game Boy Advance, DS
Game Boy
market.
They had, I think, 90% of the portable market.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, they had the DS, which was huge. They had the Game Boy Advance SP, which was massive, you know? And the Wii, even, you know, like, at first, the Wii was there, but they pretty much had their business split 50-50 between, you know, their portable and their console. Now the Wii is slowing down, and the 3DS. I mean, let's just face it. It hit like a rock.
Yeah.
You know. So it's just this is what happens, guys. When you go after that instant gratification, when you rely on hitching your wagon to a gimmick, and the thing about gimmicks is, unless you're an innovator, unless you're going to come out and show software that really, like, I mean, what has Nintendo published for the Wii that really showed off what that system could do? Think about it. You know, what have they themselves, what came out of Nintendo that really combined that old school, Nintendo video game with that system's capabilities? Don't say new Super Mario Brothers, because it was basically just a Mario Brothers clone, and it didn't use any of the real, the bells and whistles of the Wii. You just held the Wii remote like an old NES controller.
And same with the Galaxy games, man. They were basically...
Yeah. You used the pointer to grab coins or jewels or stars, whatever they were. But, nothing on that system from Nintendo really, outside of like Wii Sports Resort and that stuff, which is, niche. Like, it's not... That's not why Nintendo fans are buying Nintendo Wiis.
Yeah.
They're buying it for Mario games, they're buying it for Metroid, they're buying it for Zelda, They're not buying it for Wii Sports or Wii Sports Resort,
And despite however little potential you think it might have had, there always is potential.
Well, it's a gimmick, but it could have been utilized better than it was, is the thing. And if your first party, if your system, like, if you aren't showing what that system is capable of, you can't rely on third parties to do it for you.
No.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, you can't bully a third party into gimmicks. It's just not going to work. What they're going to do is they're just going to go to the competition.
Yeah.
And now with the Wii U, they've kind of gone back to more traditional control schemes and that kind of stuff. Like, they've got this tablet interface, sure, but they've also got, like, a standard controller and stuff like that. Like, it's gone back to a more traditional mindset. And what are we seeing as the first games announced for it? Ports.
Yeah.
Xbox 360 and PS3 ports. The hardware, the stuff that was shown at E3 last year was the PS3 and 360 versions.
Yeah.
So it's I shake my head at them, and I'm just like, guys, what are you doing? I think they need to lay low. I think they need to restructure. I think they need to kill the Wii U before it does any more damage.
Lick their wounds.
Yeah, and just come back with a good dose of old-fashioned Nintendo gameplay.
Yeah.
That's right. And like you were saying earlier, they should just call it Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right? And I think they should even go one step further in nostalgia, and it should be a gray box with a red stripe on
Nintendo
it.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah. Just don't package it with a robot.
No. And then you heard the story behind that, right?
No, I had not.
That was how they got it into toy departments.
Gunpei Yokoi?
Yeah.
You say the guy who created the Game Boy and... I think he was the game director on Super Metroid, which was probably my favorite Super Nintendo game, right?
Yeah, I'd probably...
The man was a legend, died horribly in a car crash.
Poor man.
Yeah, but after kind of getting railroaded out of the company after the Virtual Boy tank.
That's right, that was his thing, wasn't it?
That was his thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But, this guy was... He was an engineer, right? He was always... He finished one project, and then... look on to the future, try to come up with something else.
Yeah.
And just the Virtual Boy just sank like a stone.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't even know, but the Virtual Boy probably hit a little better than the 3DS.
It probably did.
What about with the 3DS, man? I was looking at the stuff. Yes, they were showing off stuff people were getting excited about. Kid Icarus and all that. None of that's here yet. All we've had is ports of old N64 games.
And PlayStation 2 games. And
PlayStation 2 games?
Yeah, well, Metal Gear...
Oh, yeah.
That's coming in, while Street Fighter 4, which looks pretty cool on and all, but the 3D just...
Well, guys, listen,
it gives you a headache.
What good your version of Street Fighter 4 is on the 3DS. I've got Street Fighter 4 on a 60-inch television.
Yeah, there you go. There it is.
I can play online on the internet, or even better, I can have the boys over and sit on the couch and play.
Pass controllers around like we did last weekend?
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah.
And the other side of it, of course, the other big elephant in the room is the new portable scene, your iOS and your Android.
Yeah.
You're also competing with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, my DS has been gathering dust for probably a year now. And, like I've been saying in the last couple of podcasts...
You're playing Children of
Cardia. I've been playing Children of Cardia for hours and hours on Android, right?
Yeah, you got your Android phones, your iPhones and everything. For portable gaming, you're paying, what, $4.99 to free? You can't beat that.
No.
You can't compete.
Not in a portable market. No. You know, not in a portable market. I mean, no, it's not console quality stuff, but...
It's portable quality.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And that's the whole thing about portable gaming. It doesn't have to be as good as what you're sitting down to play on your TV. It's got to be something fun that can kill 5 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or it can kill a boss rush.
So, here it is, Nintendo, you know, like, new consoles, dump this Wii U, it's just... You're still playing catch-up with the big boys, and you used to be the big boy. Like, there's something wrong with that. There's, and, I mean, don't hide behind this lead shield, this xenophobic wall of Japan, and pretend that you're innovating when all you're doing is scrambling. It's bullshit, is what it is. And it's starting to show. People are starting to see the chinks in your armor.
Like Buddy was saying from the guy left Capcom.
Yeah, Keiji Inafune.
That's just saying, you know, it's... Something needs to change.
Yeah,
You're seeing it now in Nintendo. You're seeing it now in the beacon of the Japanese gaming industry.
Well, I look at what Square Enix has become, and I know the hardcore Square Enix fans will turn up their noses at it and all of this. You know, they've got IDOS now, and you know, like I never thought 5 years ago I'd play a game like Deus Ex: Human Revolution with a Square Enix logo at the beginning of it.
And they're not the same company they were.
You know, Kane Lynch Dog Days with a Square Enix logo in front of it. This is not, you know, the Square Enix I remember. But you know what? It's what kept them alive.
Yeah.
And if that means, you know, that I can play some cool, gritty Eastern style games and still get a new Final Fantasy game.
Going to be US Square Enix?
Oh yeah.
And that looks incredible.
Looks fantastic.
It looks absolutely incredible.
You know, it looks like it can stand toe-to-toe with any of the Batmans or with the Splinter Cell Conviction. You know, it looks like a great stealth game.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it's got a Square Enix logo at the beginning of it, all the better.
Well, man, it's... I remember the day back in the days when you could see certain game studios, and it was a mark of quality.
Yeah.
You know, you knew back in the Nintendo days when you were picking up that purple-blue border box with the Capcom logo on it.
No, not always.
No. Usually, it was a good game.
There were other companies, I think. I think even Enix was the big one on Nintendo. I knew when I picked up an Enix game, I was usually getting something good.
And you knew when you picked up an LGN game that...
It was heavy.
you knew it came from a Zeller's bargain.
Yeah. That it was cheap.
You knew that your parents didn't love you when you were finally adopted.
Yeah. Acclaim or LJN.
Yeah.
What was the one Konami used to use? So
Ultra.
They could get more releases.
More cartridges. Ultra was there.
Yeah, Nintendo, if you come back as a new system, don't do that anymore.
No, don't. Just don't.
Time for douchery is over. Leave that to Microsoft.
Yeah, touche. In other Wii news, Wii and DS points cards have been discontinued at retail.
Wow.
That kind of surprised me. I got an email the other day telling me that Nintendo was no longer offering points cards.
So, what did you use the points for anyway?
Virtual console.
Are you still going to be... So how are you going to get...
Credit card.
You need to have
credit card. Oh, I see.
There apparently are still going to be dedicated, like, exclusive by region gift card kiosks where you'll be able to purchase, like, Wii points cards.
Right.
DS store points cards. But, you know, it's not going to be... You know, walk into any retailer and buy your 1,000-point Wii Virtual Console card, you know? And, I mean, now, granted, I haven't brought a whole lot of business to the Virtual Console because I still own a lot of my old games.
Yeah,
but I thought it was cool that it was there.
Well, man, you know? If I owned a Wii, I'd probably be chock-a-block with Virtual Console games.
Right? Yeah.
Because I love that stuff.
And, I mean, the other side of it, of course, is they're not really doing a whole lot to support it anymore.
Right. You
know? Like, I know there was a release this past week. They released some crazy European... action RPG based on a pen and paper game, but that's the first new Wii console game, like virtual console game, I saw released in months.
Well, if they can cut their operating costs by not producing the cards and having to support that system, that, you know, they might do well, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if they're just going through credit cards now, right?
And maybe that's the whole thing.
Just a credit card.
Well, no, Sony, you can buy cards at retail. PSN card.
Well, yeah, PSN card, but it's not a point card. It's still just.
But it's the same principle.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's the exact same principle as Microsoft's MS points.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's
right.
Just now basically all Nintendo is doing is, you know, you have the option of registering your credit card, or just not buying shit on the virtual console.
Right.
Three.
Wow.
Two of them weren't by me, Melissa.
That shit is not a curse. They say that in the Goonies.
They do.
I even just said it.
Yeah.
You are a Goonie.
Okay, so we've talked about Nintendo for a while. Let's talk about Minecraft, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, Minecraft.
Let's talk about Minecraft.
That's fascinating.
I've actually got two bits of news.
You just put on the Steve Hawking glasses.
I've actually got two bits of news. First thing I'll say, the very first MineCon's coming up. November.
Oh, right!
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Oh, you're not going to get there.
No?
They're sold out.
Oh.
They've sold all their tickets. It's going to happen in Las Vegas, November 18th and 19th.
The city of eternal sin.
Because if there's one thing I think of when I think of Minecraft, it's Las Vegas.
Yeah. Now, here's something else. Here's another bit of news about
Minecraft. Cooper will be there.
I gotta give you this news, because this news broke my heart. Okay?
Okay.
So, Minecraft is on the Xperia. It's coming out for Xbox 360. It's on PC. It's going to be Android, iPad, and all that. Notch just come out and said that the console version is going to be exclusive.
You know why that is, of course.
Why?
Money.
But it's already on Sony's Xperia.
Fat sex. So cash.
Yeah, but why would it not be on the PlayStation?
Apparently, it's already on the Xbox version is apparently being developed by one of Microsoft's internal studios, I believe.
Oh, I see.
So...
That's very weird for me. The Xperia
one,
I mean,
what they do. This is what Microsoft does.
The phone version of it is optimized for the Xperia.
Remember the Grand Theft Auto 4?
Oh, yeah. This is what Microsoft does. This is what they do. They pull up to a developer's house. They throw big fat sacks of cash at them.
That they should be spending on good first-party
games. Yeah, that they should be using to develop software. And
80 months has been since Alan Wake.
Good Lord, Alan Wake was over a
year
ago.
Like a year ago, man.
Over a year and a half ago.
Oh, no, wait. We've had Gears 3, so...
We've had Forza 4.
Forza 4. Okay, yeah. So do I need to wait another year now for...
Well, they've got this Halo Anniversary Edition coming out in 2 weeks.
I don't care. I only do it.
But it's Halo with priests. It's all shiny Halo. They use high dynamic range lighting and anti-isotropic filtering.
76 Google flops.
And 7 times MSAA anti-aliasing and, you know, all of this kind of stuff that we don't understand.
Hmm.
It goes from 0 to 60 in 4.9 seconds and has over 250 brake horsepower.
We're talking about video games, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I gotcha.
You've been watching Top Gear again, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Halo Anniversary Edition is the best remade version of Halo in the world.
Okay, moving on. The PlayStation Vita, is it pronounced Vita?
I thought it said Vita.
Vita?
Vita?
PlayStation Life.
Okay.
Just call it the PSP2.
Yeah, the PSP, the PSV.
Hey, that's mine. You stole that from me.
The PlayStation Vita first edition pre-orders are now available. You get some extra goodies, including a memory card and a case, and you get your shiny new handheld Uber console a week before anyone else.
Woo!
For maximum nyah-nyah factor.
I'm glad you said the nyah-nyah. Now, what do they mean by first edition? Do they mean that this one is going to be more buggy than the one that's going to be coming out?
Well, you get it a week early.
Oh, so it's going to be the same.
It's going to be exactly console. The same. It comes with a game bundled in, too, that's not Uncharted, so I don't really care.
Right. Okay.
What about you? Do you care?
No, I'm buying mine for Uncharted.
I'm buying mine for Uncharted. Kev?
I probably won't be getting one.
Why not?
I don't know.
Peer pressure.
It's got a touchscreen on the front and a touchscreen on the back. And two analog sticks.
How do you guys think this is going to do? I mean, they tanked with the PSP Go.
The PSP Go was a last-ditch effort from Sony to get third-party publishers behind that platform.
Right.
The system was rampant with piracy. Piracy is what killed the PSP. The PSP was a damn fine piece of handheld machinery, and for the first few years it was on the market, there were some great games made for that machine.
You know, 2005, 2006.
Oh, man, it was awesome.
A powerhouse.
Yeah, it was, but it's just what happens is those dirty goddamn internet pirates absolutely ruined that console.
It's terrible, and I loved playing Zelda on my PSP.
Exactly. I mean, who didn't?
It was great.
I could play Chrono Trigger on the wrong way.
I did play Chrono Trigger on
But we didn't power games, though.
Did you play any of the games that were released on UMD?
I did have some.
I have over 40. That's why I didn't buy a PSP Go.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I love my PSP. I love the machine, and the Vita just looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
It looks like a beautiful piece of hardware.
They were showing off the screens and videos for Uncharted The Golden Abyss. I thought it was Uncharted 3.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
You couldn't tell me it wasn't Uncharted 3.
And from what I'm understanding, apparently it's going to support Sony's Remote Play. Like from, you know, you're at home, you stick a PS3 game in your PlayStation 3 at home, you leave it on standby or whatever, you can log into it from any internet connection with your Vita and log into your dashboard and just play the game streaming on your PSV. That's pretty goddamn cool. There were a few games
that's cooler than cool, man.
There were a few games, cool. There were two games that supported it on PS2, on PS3, like the PSP that I know of. I know you could do it with Lair, and you could do it with BlazBlue.
Great.
Lair was okay on PSP. It looked pretty cool and stuff, and yeah. It was just like, I tried
it a few times. I bought because it was a fighting game. I think I played it once and then put it back in the box, and it sat on my shelf ever since.
Yeah, BlazBlue is eventually going to be eBay fodder for me, I think. Yeah. But
just waiting for that to hit the magic 400.
we're waiting for it to hit triple digits. But no, tripties. I think that like the fact that you can, well, I mean, if that is true and you can do remote play on all your PlayStation 3 games and stuff, man, I'll be there.
Yeah.
You can do it. I know I could do it with like all my PS1 stuff on my PlayStation 2,
right?
Which was pretty cool. Like I could put any PS1 game I wanted in my PS3.
Oh man, it'd be awesome if you could remote play your PSN stuff.
A lot of that you can now, anyway, actually.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the PSN stuff you download is for both systems.
Oh, dude, that'd be wicked.
Yeah.
You could take stuff like...
all the minis, all the PS1 classics.
No, I mean, if you could take like the actual like games you download.
There are a few coming. I know there was a new version of Monster Hunter, Monster Hunter 3TB or something like this, that support, like, it was...
Because if I could take Hardcore Uprising with me, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, I think I noticed this Monster Hunter one that's coming. When you buy it on PSN, it was like a high-def remastered version for PS3, but you could link your PSP up to it and play it as well.
We talked about the Killing Dinosaurs Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter. Awesome Monster
Hunter.
Those
games are awesome.
They are awesome. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the V. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has been officially announced. We all knew it was coming.
Woo-hoo!
I mean, you know... Last week, Grand Theft Auto 3, 10 years old. This week, Grand Theft Auto 5. The first trailer drops on November 2nd, a day after Uncharted 3. Of course, it doesn't stop people from speculating and spreading rumors.
Yeah, that trailer's just going to be the logo for the game, you know, that just like Grand Theft Auto 4.
With some wah, 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 playing through it or something, you know. But it's Rockstar, it's Grand Theft Auto, I'll be there. Of course, rumors include multiple playable characters. So I guess something along the lines of what they did with GTA 4 is expansion packs.
A female protagonist was one possibility.
Yeah, one possibility was a female protagonist. We were talking about it the other night at work, and I thought it'd be really cool to do like a opposing sides kind of thing. You know, a cop and a crook.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. You know, you get like kind of both sides of the same story. Similar to what they did with The Getaway, only, you know, actually well executed.
Yeah.
So, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, The Getaway was the best game ever that I hated playing.
No, we had a lot of fun with The Getaway, but it was just kind of one of those games that, at the time, at the time it was great, but it has an age.
Oh, I've been shot.
Now, hey, you might as well be talking about every first-person shooter on the market right now.
Yeah, every first-person shooter doesn't show you leaning against the wall.
They might as well.
Are you angry?
Well, leaning against the wall is more realistic than just standing up waiting for your shield to recharge.
Or your health to magically appear.
Yeah. Your mutant healing factor.
Yeah, like every character in Call of Duty or Battlefield. Never mind health packs. Some rumors state that it's going to be San Andreas again. Others say it's actually going to be real-world Los Angeles. Which
now, I heard that it... I thought that was confirmed that it was going to be Los Angeles.
No, they still kind of
rumor.
Yeah, it's still kind of a rumor.
Well, that's not the fun about Rockstar stuff, though, is letting the rumor pop.
I always kind of like that they never really show you everything until the game is on the market.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first time they ever really did any kind of a big reveal ahead of time was Red Dead Redemption.
But even then, man, when the Red Dead launch trailer came on, there was like... 80% of that trailer was stuff you hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, and it was all cutscene stuff,
yeah.
Which was great. Like, I mean, it was... The Rockstar markets a game like nobody else. They do a great job on marketing. Yeah. And I think GTA...
And that's why they're so huge for a company that releases maybe one title a year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think the whole thing with it... No. This whole Los Angeles thing, I'd almost rather see him just stick to San Andreas. But I know there's also been rumors... There's also been rumors of voice actors, everybody from Gilbert Gottfried to Robert De Niro. So, you know.
There's two opposite spectrums. Two opposite ends of the acting spectrum.
Yeah, basically every actor who lives in the greater Los Angeles area is rumored to be involved in this game, so.
Oh, wait a minute. Lemmy lives in Los Angeles. There's your protagonist right there. Alright, give me the keys to your car.
The other is that it's going to be multiple timelines. That's another. Well, I think that one's more speculation than an actual rumor. But saying that it may start around the same time frame as like LA, as Red Dead Redemption, hit like a LA Noir era and then into modern day, which I'm interested. I'd be interested to see how they pull that off.
It'd be interesting if they were following a family.
Yeah, yeah, like you know? A bunch of Irish immigrants who comes to New York City to escape the potato famine,
and eventually you know become. Head of the crime.
Yeah, head of the Irish mob.
Yeah. That could be cool.
No. You're an Italian. You gotta do Irish.
No.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, it's...
I can't do an impersonation of two from Miller's Cross. Albert Finney, wasn't
Albert
it?
Albert Finney, yeah.
Oh, daddy boy. That song
needs... The old man is still an artist with the Thompson. But no, I'm curious. Actually, I kind of hope the Boston rumors pan out. That'd be kind of cool. And it'd be something that we haven't seen before. You know, after The Departed and The Town, two awesome, awesome movies.
Listen, Gus.
It'd be a neat take.
Please. Chicago.
Chicago. Yes. That's the Chicago way.
Exactly. If there ever was a city calling out for a sandbox game, Chi-Town.
Beantown.
The second city.
I'm going
the Big Onion.
The Big Onion?
Yeah, they used to call it the Big Onion.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it smells like onions?
I don't know why, but I read that.
Because it has layers.
I don't know. It had something to do with New York being the Big Apple and Chicago was the Big Onion.
Well, we know who got the shitty in the next day.
Detroit.
What do they call Detroit?
Delta City. Old Detroit has a cancer.
Well,
Oh man, now I just want a RoboCop game that doesn't suck.
Good luck with that.
That'd be nice.
But you know, the biggest rumor of all is Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming. And we're excited here on Blast Process.
Yeah, what do you think we're going to get?
Oh geez, like 2013?
I'm thinking, yeah, like March.
Do you think it'll be next gen?
No, I think it'll be this gen, but I think it'll be like next year. I think it'll be like what they did with 4. I think it'll be like a March or a May release.
Right.
Rockstar seems to like that era, that time, like Red Dead last year.
They can release pretty much unopposed.
Yeah, Red Dead last year, LA Noir.
Other developers are starting to catch on to it. You know, in 2010, THQ hit on the first week of January with Darksiders and took a game that would have been...
devoured
just
in the fall.
Cast aside in November and forgotten, and they scored the first big hit of the year and started a new franchise.
Yeah.
Right? I think developers are... BioWare's got Mass Effect isn't being released the fall.
March,
right? Yeah. They're starting to realize that...
Mass Effect 2 was a February release,
yeah,
too.
The fall...
Dragon Age 2.
Yeah. Dead Space 2 was a...
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It was... they're starting to realize that it's... you can't hedge all your bets on a fall release anymore.
They're starting to realize that, even though we've been talking about it since like the first few episodes of Blast Processing. So, like, you know, it's not just the fall thing anymore. It's all year round.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, there's another big release coming up, guys.
Okay.
Brace yourselves for this. Brace yourselves now.
I am prepared.
There's a new World of Warcraft expansion coming.
I think I just shit myself.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Great. That's good. John, can we get some tissue over here? It's called... I don't even remember what it's called. Like, I don't know. Fog of the Panda Men. So, I don't know. There are pandas in it. And it's a Chinese kind of...
Can I play as Sigourney Weaver?
No, you cannot.
And, like, go live with the pandas?
No.
That's gorillas, wasn't
that's
it?
That's gorillas in the mist. This is more of a Kung Fu Panda type dealio.
Oh, my God.
No, it really is. And when you look at the shots, you go, why didn't they just make a Kung Fu Panda animal?
Why aren't all these people playing Age of Conan?
Yeah, I know. Okay, so here's the deal on the pandas.
Mass Exodus to EverQuest.
So clearly there's a new area.
People are going to start playing Ultimate again. Lord British is like, oh, I knew you people.
My news is never exciting in terms of conversation. Why does that happen?
I don't know.
So there's a new area, obviously, and it's very kind of Chinese influenced style and all this kind of stuff. I think it's called Pandaria or something. I don't know what it is.
Oh my god.
The class is Monk. That's the Pandunk. New class. Pandunk, yeah.
Because everything's gonna have pan in.
Monks are a melee class.
Pandunkadunk?
They're a melee class and they don't have an auto attack.
Okay. How can I work panda in there?
I don't know, man.
No auto panda attack.
Panda attack. I had something else to talk about that was really cool, and now I don't remember because you guys just interrupted.
I'm sorry.
There's no
clearly auto-attack. No auto attack. They must have played the Old Republic beta.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
And there was something else. Oh yes, this is kind of cool actually.
Okay.
The pandas are neutral until level 10, and then you pick Horridor Alliance.
That is kind of cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it is pretty
neat. I always thought the Horner Alliance restriction was a little bullshitty.
Yeah, anyway. Well, this time around, you get to pick. I guess there's some sort of quest where you decide where your loyalties lie, and you get to pick.
I always thought, you know, they should have, like, you could even take, they should have let you do that anyway. You take a human character, you know, if he proves his orcness, he gets to
yeah.
game with the orcs.
Yeah, maybe have a quest thread, you know, like a quest line where you could change sides.
Yeah
that would be really cool, actually. Yeah. And that quest is available whenever. Like, there's a guy in a town that
yeah.
you decide you want to change, you can go talk to
him. Maybe it's all involved, you know, maybe it's an out-of-the-way town. Like remember, I know you weren't playing, I don't think, at this point, when Johnson took me on a Zeppelin ride to some remote city somewhere.
I was probably off the wagon, or on
yeah.
the wagon.
On
which
the
is
wagon.
On the wagon.
On the wagon, yeah. But Johnson took me to some remote city somewhere, and I learned how to use a two-handed sword as an orc fighter. And then I went back to, like, the Barrens area and stuff, and I was wielding this big two-handed bastard sword or whatever, and all the other orcs were like, how did you get that as a fighter? You know, and it's just like, ha ha, I'm awesome.
That's how I bring it real.
I am awesome. I willed it to be.
Otar.
And then everybody realized that they could just go to this town and buy the skill.
Right.
Well, you know, I'd like to see have it a scalable quest, so it, you know, it's challenging whenever you want to do it.
Yeah. How long do you think WoW has left?
See,
in its form, they're the same. I mean, there has not been a real major graphical update. It's still the same style.
Yeah, yeah. My thing with WoW is, I look at WoW the same way I look at Call of Duty, and I almost think that Call of Duty is kind of following WoW's blueprint.
Yeah.
WoW has transcended that whole video game medium to become just a social item. You know, it's one of those. You know, people play it because it's part of their routine, it's part of their daily life. It has become, you know, as inundated in their day-to-day routine as, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee on the way to work or something like that,
yeah,
for one of
yeah.
us might be. You know, it's, WoW is a lifestyle now. And Call of Duty, much the same thing. I mean, you know, you got guys anywhere from the ages of 12 to 45 who can't wait to get home after a hard day at the office or a hard day
play video games,
to sit down and
play multiplayer.
They play COD, and this is all they play. And WoW is kind of the same thing. And, I mean, you gotta look at the player base.
Hmm.
What, like, I mean, no, it's, I know it's down. I know Cataclysm dropped some, and now apparently there's been another big exodus with this Pandaria announcement thing.
Yeah.
But they'll all be back. When it comes out, they'll all be back.
Well, even I got an email that offered me, you know, a return
for
a couple of free months.
Yeah,
I haven't played it in, like, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Part of me was going, it might be fun to roam the fields of Mulgore once again.
But then, you know, the part of you was like, I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's right. That part of you was like, no, Batman's in the other room.
I mean, it's the same thing. It was when Cataclysm was announced, and they changed things. And, you know,
you've changed
creatures of habit hate change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there was all this Doom and Strum and Drang and whatever, you know, and then now with this Pandaria thing, the hardcore on the Blizzard forums setting the place on fire and stuff. And, so I think it was like the Blizzard community director came out with this big long spiel about why Pandaria is awesome, and I read through it and I was like, that is the most horrifyingly, like, premeditated piece of marketing bullshit that I've read
yeah,
in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just like, oh man, when I read through it, I was like, dude, I pity you. I feel so bad for you because you're towing the company line to such a strong degree here, you know? And it's like, I understand, you guys get millions tied up in this stuff, you know? Like, how long were they developing this Mists of Pandaria before they decided to announce it as the next expansion? I'd say they started right after Cataclysm was
finished. Oh, yeah, you know.
You're looking at millions of dollars in man hours. Nobody's going to flush that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah, sure, Blizzard canceled StarCraft Ghost back in the day, but we're talking about Active Blizzard now. We're talking about
yeah.
Blizzard run by the Evil Empire.
Yeah.
They're not going to just shit can it because a few hardcore fanboys on the WoW forums don't like it because it ruins the mythology of their game. Seriously? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. That'd be like Nintendo coming out tomorrow and saying we're ceasing console development. You know? We're going to start publishing Mario games on the Xbox 360. Sure you are. You know? I think you still got lots of life left in it.
Yeah,
and I think most of these people, they get all pissy and contrary and moany and bitchy and whiny when this stuff is announced, but as soon as the damn shiny collector's edition is shown, they'll be drooling all over it. And then on launch day, they'll be lined up at midnight in the freezing cold January weather to buy their expansion pack.
Yeah,
well, they got to complete their collection,
right?
They'll
be level 90 and never play again.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a new level cap increase, of course.
Yeah.
It'll just keep increasing with every expansion.
And it's just like Call of Duty. Everybody who expects, you know, all these people are like, oh, is the Call of Duty thing over? Is Call of Duty starting to decline? No, it isn't. And Modern Warfare 3 is going to be the best-selling game of this year.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Ambush topic time?
I think it's time for an ambush topic.
Whee! Whee!
What's the topic this week, Steve?
I haven't got one.
You haven't gotten one? What? Are you serious?
I honestly don't.
There's no ambush topic.
Oh, right here,
John's got one.
I've got one for I know, I had this on the Black Processor Facebook page, which if you haven't liked yet,
Go do so.
Yes.
Right now.
You've got like 3 days to break the 100 mark and get our mystery prize. If you don't,
I get it.
Ked gets the mystery prize.
He's already got one.
Oh.
But, Now, I put this up on the Facebook page a little while ago, and this is kind of in the wake of Arkham City. Gentlemen, if you could make a comic book property into a video game, any comic book you want, any style of game you want, what would it be?
Well, this is kind of like the cartoon one we did last time, isn't it?
It is. I guess it could be.
But, you know, lackadaisical slacker here makes me talk about an ambush topic. Okay, so you'll do as I said.
We'll answer the question. We'll answer your question. Steven?
Wow. Anything. Now, I mean, you can reach back into like the depths of Mark Schultz or Dave Stevens. You can have like the Rocketeer or Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Ah, man.
You could even have Xenozoic.
Xenozoic Tales, a.k.a. Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, reimagined as, like, an open-world Bethesda game.
Oh! Snap!
Like, Fallout 3, only with dinosaurs and Cadillacs.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That would be pretty cool.
What level would you have to reach for? You could be a blood mechanic.
I don't know. I haven't given it that much thought. No, I'm going to go with Wolverine, the Japan Years, the action RPG.
That's cool. It'd
be kind of like Jade Empire with Wolverine.
I like it.
Would it be rated M for mature?
Rated M for mature.
I would have to go with Sectors as an MMO.
Sectors?
Yeah, as an MMO.
Really?
And so you could be either a member of the good guys, you know, Prince Dagon, I think his name was, I can't remember, or a member of the bad guys.
Now,
was
this the same thing you used for the 80s cartoon game?
No, I used Thundercats.
Thundercats, that's right.
Sectors did actually have some comics out.
Okay.
As well as
a very cartoon and cartoon.
Well, it was a very short-lived cartoon.
Four-issue limited series.
But they did have...
It was probably made by...
Okay, it wasn't the goddamn comics, all right? It was comic... Judge, I'm just answering the question.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing.
Was it Star Comics?
I don't remember what it was. I think it was Marvel.
Yeah, do you remember Marvel's Star imprint that they used to use for all their licensed stuff?
Yeah, they used to do Mad Balls.
Yeah.
And those are really good.
They were really good. And they're Terminator comics.
They also used to do Ralph Snart.
Ralph Snart?
Ralph Snart is now following me on Twitter.
Really?
I don't know how it happened. He talks a lot about beer.
Of course
he
does. Okay, so Ken's got Sectors.
Sectors.
I'm down.
It'd be really cool, man. Yeah. You get those mounts, you know?
The giant insects.
The giant insect mounts. Or the pets, which sometimes were insects.
Yep.
Well, they were always insects. They were all insects.
Yeah, all the main characters were insects, weren't they?
Yeah, they all had insect heads.
Bugs that got turned into humans?
Yeah. Well, they didn't get turned into them. They are that. That's their species. Because it's on another world, right?
All
right,
okay, I got you.
Yeah. Oh, my mind.
look this up on YouTube, listeners.
Sectors.
Spell it for them.
Sectaurs.
How about you, John?
P.O. Box 147. Station H.O.H. O.H.O.
John, if you're really good, Santa will bring you a Sector's MMO this year.
Okay, I'm going to betray my dorkiness now. Now, part of me wants to say, you know, like Judge Dredd or Nikolai Dante or anything off 2000 AD. But, I'm going to betray my dorkiness now. My wife just came in with her Halloween makeup on. And
that's like, awesome. Anyway, keep scary. Going.
But I'd like to see an arcade-style, possibly cover-based, fast-paced third-person shooter based on the old Dirty Pair comics from the 80s.
I don't even know what that is.
Dark Horse.
It's a manga.
Yeah. Torrance Smith and Adam Warren did it.
Adam Warren. Yeah, it was like these two chicks in bikinis who shot a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what were they, like, damage control or something?
Trouble consultants.
Trouble consultants? They just basically kill people?
Yeah, they're basically bounty hunters. They brought in the worst scum in the universe, right? But the whole thing about these two chicks is wherever they went, collateral damage was immense. Like, space stations would explode, planets would be destroyed, and they were, because of that, they were codenamed the Dirty Pair.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Like, you know, I'm talking like create, like take something like Gears of War, but then ramp it up to Vanquish levels of speed of.
So just basically take Vanquish and replace the dude in the suit with two chicks in swimsuits.
Yeah.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got no problems with that.
I prefer to see Sectors, to be honest, but that's cool.
Sectors, the MMO.
Yeah.
Duly noted. And I want my Bethesda open world Cadillacs and Dinosaurs game or my Wolverine in Japan. Action RPG.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down.
Sounds good.
Hope Activision's listening to that.
Shut up, you. I hope they're not listening.
No, because they totally gave it to Silicon Knights.
Oh. Dennis Dyack, why have you betrayed me? On that note, it's time to call it an evening. If you got any comments, feedback, questions...
Chicken,
suggestions, Dr. Pepper, you know, anything at all. 2011 Camaros that you just want to give away because you can't drive them. You don't know how to drive standard or something.
71 Javelin.
71 AMC Javelin AMX. We'll take one of those as payment for nothing, which is what we... Well, no, we'll keep recording podcasts, I guess. So, yeah, comments, feedback, questions, concerns.
We want that feedback.
Complaints. You know, whatever.
Questions, queries, cogitations, comments.
Okay. So if he breaks out a Guy Fox mask, I'm out of here. I'm gone. But yeah, there we go. Hit up the Facebook page. Hit up DVDverdict.com. Click on a little button up on the top there that says Forums. Forums.
Secta.
We have a section under there called Blast Processing. Oddly enough, it's the same name as the podcast you're currently listening to. So, you know, click in there, comment, leave us feedback. We love feedback. We don't get near enough of it. You know, just tell us what you think. Until next time, I'm sure you'll hear John say,
I'll be coming for her, and I'll be coming for you, too.
We are out of here.